إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. In the qualities of the strangers, those who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised Jannah, is the quality of generosity, of ghina. The opposite of that is bukhl, which is stinginess, miserliness. Generosity is of two kinds and two stages. The first and foremost of that is generosity of the heart, of the qalb, where a person, like we say in the normal parlance, we say somebody has a big heart. Now the big heart is a term which means somebody who thinks beyond himself, somebody who has compassion, somebody who considers the needs of others at least equally important to his own needs, at least. There are of course those blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who consider the needs of others even more important than their own, but at least as important as the needs of others. Just somebody sent me yesterday a video of a man, a Muslim man in the UK, and he's Muslim in by his dress, appearance, everything, wearing a topi and a long jubba and all that, who gave his shoes to a man who was sitting in a bus, and the man had no shoes. He had a young white man who had plastic bags over his feet because he had no shoes, and this man took off his shoes and he gave it to him, and he got out of the bus. He told him, I just live nearby, so I will walk home, no, don't worry about it, keep the shoes. Now this is generosity of spirit. He could have given him some money, but the generosity of spirit is a big heart. Sheikh Saadi rahmatullahi alayh, he said in a couplet in Farsi, he said, buzrugi ba aqalast nabasal tawangari ba dilast nabamal. He said buzrugi meaning wisdom is a matter of aqal. It's a matter of your intelligence and your understanding, not how old you are. There are some people who are very old and very stupid, and there are other people who are not so old, who are young, but they have a lot of wisdom. So he said, budrugi ba aqalast nabasal, not by the years. And tawangari meaning ghina, meaning sakhawat, meaning generosity, ba dilast nabamal. He said it's a quality of the heart. It doesn't depend on how much money you have. And many times I think many of us have this experience that people who have the least have the largest hearts. They are willing to give more. You know, it's not people, not that they have less, but people who have somebody else sent me some other people sent nice things. They said that in there was this Kenyan man who found a Zimbabwean man who was in a very, very poor, very desperate poor man. Zimbabwean was obviously very hungry, maybe he hadn't eaten for a couple of days, wallahu alam. So this Kenyan man was there and he gave him a sandwich. And he says the moment the man took the sandwich, he said, we can share. I mean, imagine, this fellow is getting he hasn't eaten, he's getting a sandwich, but he says, we can share. So the issue of generosity of spirit, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah is cooled by your charity. Islam not only encourages charity, but Islam actually prescribes charity as one of the faraid, which is zakat. There is no Islam, if you don't give zakat, if you refuse zakat, if you deny zakat, then there is a big problem with the iman itself. So issue of open. Now in this openness of heart, in this bigness of heart, also is the issue of forgiveness, because openness of heart and bigness of heart is not only related or restricted to charity, it's also the willingness to forgive, the willingness to think good about each other, the willingness to say, all right, so if somebody made a mistake, he made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. We are not saying the mistake was not made. Yeah, okay, maybe the person did wrong once, but that does not mean that I have to carry this grudge for the rest of my life, that I have to poison my own existence because of this. You know, somebody said about anger, very nice definition. He said, anger is what you do to yourself because somebody else did something else. So it's, because it's yourself. You are the one who is burning inside for nothing. Whatever the other person did, I mean, we are not saying it is right, but what is the sense of carrying that garbage in your heart? So the whole issue of bigness of spirit, bigness of heart, and this is all obviously visible in the actions of a person, the charity of a person. The Arabs were famous for this even pre-Islam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practiced it to a level of excellence which, subhanAllah, that cannot be matched. But of course, we try to get to that. The most famous, the most poignant, the most heart-touching story, of course, is the story of the passing away of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was dying in the last moments of his life in the state of Nada, when he is losing consciousness and he is gaining consciousness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, is there anything in the house? And she said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, there are a few coins. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give it away in charity. He said, give them away. Now imagine, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, her state, you know, here is a husband who is passing away, not just any husband, this is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she has nobody after him. She has, she is that he is her entire life, and he is passing away, and he is passing away literally in her lap. His head is lying on her, and then he says, give. So obviously she, that's not top of the mind for her. So when he came back to consciousness, he said, Aisha, have you given it away? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give it. It's there, I will give it away. He said, give it away. Then he lost consciousness again, and he came back to consciousness. He said, Aisha, have you given it away? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give it. He says, bring it here, bring it here. So she brought it. He took it in his hand, and he said, Aisha, do you want, how will it look if the Nabi of Allah meets his Rabb in this state? Now imagine, this is not haram wealth, na'udhu billah. This is not something which is, you know, and is it haram to leave something for your family? I mean, if that was haram, then why do we have laws of inheritance? So it is highly recommended that you leave things for your family, that you accumulate halal wealth in such a way that you leave something behind for your family. Nothing, not only is it not wrong, it is very much jayaz, which is recommended, and that's the reason why we have laws of inheritance. If there was nothing to be left, there would be no laws of inheritance. But then there are darajat and darajat. And the daraja of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for him, what he left behind for his family was his Rabb. It's not wealth in this dunya, it is wealth, the treasures of his Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu. And of course, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala never lets down anyone who trusts him. Allah never lets down anyone who has tawakkul on him, because then it's a matter of the izzat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. It's not a matter of you. If somebody trusts you and you fail him, then it's your issue. It's not that person's issue. The person did not trust the wrong person. When somebody trusts Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in this dunya we can always say, oh, you know, I relied on so and so. There are two kinds of people in the world, I always say this. Those on whom you can rely to deliver, and those on whom you can rely not to deliver. You got both kinds. There are some people who will surely fail you. So we are saying, but then there may be a third person who's, well, you don't know, I was not sure they would fail, but you know, I trusted the person. He looked like he was very trustworthy, but it turns out the person was not trustworthy. The person forgot, or the person took me for a ride, or whatever. This is possible with people. But with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, where is the question of not being trustworthy? SubhanAllah. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the one who trusts Allah, truly that person has trusted the only one who can never fail. And as I said, if you truly trust Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, if you truly have tawakkul, then to fulfill that is the izzat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. To fulfill that trust is the izzat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will never let go, will never let you down. If there is a problem, it means we have to see, did I really trust Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to the extent that I should have trusted? But wallahi, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala never fails. And that is why, when this is ghina, al-ghani is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Al-ghaniyul hamid, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said. Ya ayyuhan nasu, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, oh you people, you are faqir, you are beggars before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is ghaniyun hamid. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is free from all want, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is generous. And that spirit of generosity is what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala likes more than anything else. Among the stories of generosity of the Arabs, there are many. But one of the most famous, and I remember my mother telling me this story when I was a little child. And the story was of this man called Hatim At-Tai. In Urdu we say Hatim Tai. So Hatim At-Tai. Hatim, his son, actually became Muslim. Hatim was, as far as I remember, he was a Christian, and he died before Islam. But his son became a Muslim. He came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he accepted Islam. And they were from the tribe of Attai. Now Hatim had was famous, among other things. He was a very generous man. He was famous for his generosity, and he was also famous for an Arabian stallion, an Arabian horse of some very, very pure bloodlines that he owned. And the Arabs loved their horses very much. And even today, if you look at, if you go to the Arabs and you see their horses, there are two or three bloodlines in the whole world of Arab horses. One of whom the brother of the Amir of Qatar has, and interestingly, one of those bloodlines, one of my friends in South Africa has. So it's very, the Arabs are very proud of their horses. So Hatim Attai had this horse. Now the story is that a man came to Hatim Attai with the intention of buying this horse. So when this man came to Hatim Attai, it's the tradition of people that, and especially among the Arabs and also among us, that when you go to somebody, even if you go for a business deal, you don't start talking about that business straight away. I mean, you're not going to a shop, you're going to somebody's house or something to talk about a business. So you don't start off the moment you say, Salaam Alaikum, can I buy your house? No, you don't do that. I mean, this is not our culture. So you talk about some other things and so on, and you inquire about the person's welfare, and that person will serve you some food and so on and so forth. And now with the Arabs, they took it to a much higher degree. So Hatim Attai did the ziyafat of this man. The man stayed with him one day, two day. On the third day, the man said to him, he said, I came here to do some business with you. And I think I have stayed here now, today is the third day, so I must tell you what it is. So Hatim Attai said, anything, whatever you want, you are my guest. And it is my duty to honor you, and it's my duty to fulfill whatever you have come to ask. So the man said, I came here to ask you to sell me this horse of yours. I want to buy this horse. So Hatim Attai said, it is our culture that we don't immediately say why we came the moment you go to somebody's place. But I wish you had told me this. I wish you had told me the moment you came. The man said, why are you saying that? He said, because that horse is what we ate for the last 3 days. He said, we are going through some very difficult times and there is no food. And when you came, he said, we were managing somehow. But when you came, we cannot give you what we were eating. So therefore, I slaughtered the horse. He said, I wish you had told me that on the first day when you came. Because then I would not have slaughtered the horse. I would have given the horse to you. So issue of generosity. Generosity, charity cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I remind myself anew that with regard to generosity and charity, as I said, considering the needs of others at least to be equal to your own needs. Meaning that when we give charity, let us also keep track of how much charity we give. Sometimes we give very little and we feel very good about it. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong to feel good, but if we just compare and say, how much did I spend on myself and how much did I give in charity? So for example, we don't hesitate. If you want to buy a phone like this, you don't hesitate to buy the phone. 30,000-40,000 rupees is no big deal. We spend it. How many of us give 30,000-40,000 rupees in charity? Maybe we give it in Ramadan, and I'm not talking about zakat, I'm talking other than zakat. Zakat is a calculation, we have to calculate and we have to give it. But I'm talking about other than zakat. When was the last time we gave the equivalent of the price of a cell phone to somebody? When was the time, let me not get ambitious, but when was the time we gave the price of a car to somebody? A whole house can run for a whole year or more on the price of one car. I'm not talking about the fancy cars. I'm not talking about like my green Bentley or something. I'm talking about reasonable cars. Whole year, easy, on the price of one car. How many times did you do that? We all sit and we talk about the people who have suffered in Muzaffarnagar and here and there and so on. And then we give, 1 lakh of rupees, 100,000 rupees in charity and we feel good about it. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. We should give, no problem. But I'm saying, 100,000 rupees will not even buy you that piece of junk which Tata makes. What is it called? Nano. It won't even buy you that. We spend on ourselves. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong. I'm not saying it is haram. It is halal. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us. But we spend on ourselves. We never ask questions. But when it comes to spending on others, even the generous among us, I don't know how many of us equal what we spend on ourselves to what we give to others. And now we are talking only about equal. What about then to appreciate the generosity of the Sahaba and the others? What about those who spent far more on others than they spent on themselves? What about those? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will take him as a guest? And one sahabi said, ya Rasulullah, we'll take him as a guest, I will take him. He took him home. When he took him home, and he said to his wife, so he was sitting in the room outside, he went inside, he said to his wife, I have brought a guest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, there is no food. There is no food in the house. She said, the only food we have is some food which we have for our children. There is nothing else. So the man said, give that food. We will give it to our guests and give the children some water. Let them go to sleep. So she said, how will you eat? Because there is food only, that food is only for one person. He said, what you do is when the food is served, you put off the lamp. You pretend that the lamp went off. And the guest will not see that I am not eating. So she did that. She brought the food and then she fiddled with the lamp and the lamp, she turned it off. And in whatever, maybe some moonlight or something, in that half darkness, the Sahabi, he pretended to eat and the guest ate. And this happened in the night in his house. Next morning when he came to Rasulullah recited the ayat of the Quran and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has noticed what you did and Allah revealed his kalam. This is what, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the kalam, and Allah said, they are those who put the need of their guest over their own need. Allah revealed Quran about this. This generosity of giving more than what you, for yourself. Imagine keeping your own children, your own wife and yourself hungry and giving to the guest. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the reason why the Muslims had the barakah, why they had the help of Allah, why they had the power in those days. They worked for it, they paid for it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to bring these things into our lives and to fill our lives with the barakah of these actions. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.